Psalm 110 tonight is a wonderful passage. I want to read it in your hearing and speak tonight for a few moments on the subject, the great until. The great until. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook and the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Psalm 110, quoted more often than any other passage in the entire Old Testament, is Psalm 110. The great until. I'd like to look at a verse or two of this psalm tonight and maybe the other verses on another occasion. But I could hardly overemphasize the importance of Psalm 110. It is quoted a dozen times in the New Testament, more than any other Old Testament passage. It is a messianic psalm. That it is a psalm concerning the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you want an interesting study, study the book of Psalms and look for Jesus Christ in the book of Psalms. You'll find him in many, many chapters. We want to see the seated Christ, first of all, in verse number 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The seated Christ. I want to reread this verse, the whole verse. I want you to notice that the Father is speaking to the Son. The Lord, that's Jehovah, the Father, said unto my Lord Adonai, the Son, Jesus Christ, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now that's God the Father speaking to God the Son. That is holy ground. There are not many times in the Bible where you find recorded conversations among the persons of the Trinity. But here is such an instance. The Father says to the Son, sit thou at my right hand. Now there's no question who's talking here. There's no question about who is being spoken to. I want to take the time to turn to Matthew, where the Lord Jesus Christ very specifically applies these verses to himself. I'm turning now to Matthew 22, invite you to look there with me for just a moment. Matthew 22 and verse number 41, where Jesus will quote verse number 1 here. Matthew 22, 41. You know those religious groups were always trying to entangle him in his speech. Always trying to get him to say something by which they could discredit him. But they never could. And in Matthew 22, 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And here's a question. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. So it's very plain that Jesus applies this verse to himself. And he says to them, who's the Messiah? They say, son of David. He said, okay, how did David call him Lord? The Lord said to my Lord. He called the Messiah my Lord. He said, how is how is the Messiah, the son of David, and the Lord of David? They didn't know how to answer that, because that would mean that the Messiah was more than a man. He was God. He was Lord. He was Adonai. And they just did not want to admit that Jesus was God. They did not want to admit that Jesus was the God-man. And so they did not answer. But Jesus always claimed deity. He accepted worship. He forgave sins. He did miracles. This crowd today with the Da Vinci Code and all the rest of that rubbish, amen, is trying to convince people that Jesus never claimed to be deity. All you have to do is read the Gospels and you'll find repeatedly that Jesus told people who he was from the very beginning. He was, as to his humanity, he was the Son of David. But as to his deity, he was the Lord of David, the Creator, and God, the Son of God. I like it when he silences people with one word, just the word Lord. He does, just Lord, the word Lord, silenced the Pharisees. Now, the Lord said to my Lord, and some people, I heard a fella the other day, less than a month ago, a Baptist preacher, so-called, give the impression that there's only one person in the Godhead. Folks, there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's three persons in the Godhead. There is, the Trinity is a biblical doctrine. They speak to each other. The Father spoke down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." You know, these oneness Pentecostals say that there's only one person in the Godhead, and that Jesus was a ventriloquist. That's the word they use. Throwing his voice up in the air, they said there's nobody in heaven. There's only, folks, my soul, let's go back to theology 101. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I don't know why Baptists don't know that. But the Father is speaking to the Son. When did he say to him? When did God the Father say to God the Son, "Sit thou at my right hand"? Well, of course, that was at his ascension. In Acts 1, 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus came back to heaven, sat back down on his throne after showing himself alive by many infallible proofs. And God the Father said, "Well done, you finished what I sent you to do. Sit thou at my right hand." And that's where Jesus is right now. It's where he's been ever since. You say he came to my bedroom. I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it. Oral Roberts said he's 900 feet tall. I don't believe that either. He's at the Father's right hand, the highest place of honor and glory and worship in this universe. He's seated. And the reason he's seated, it's because his work is done. His work of redemption. He shed the last blood. God the Father declared his satisfaction by raising him from the dead. And what Jesus came to do, he did. Perfectly, gloriously, everlastingly. The work was completed and fulfilled. Now there was no seat in the temple or the tabernacle, because the work of the Old Testament priest was never done. They offered a sacrifice in the morning. They had to come back in the evening. They had to come back the next day, over and over, year after year, century after century. For 1,500 years, they had to shed the blood of animals. There was no seat. The work was never done. But Jesus' work was finished. He said, "It is finished." And when he got back to heaven, God the Father said, "Sit thou at my right hand. Your work is done. Have a seat." Amen. Perfectly accomplished. Jesus is the risen and exalted Christ, seated at the Father's right hand. Now, how long is he going to be seated? What does he say? "Until I make thine enemies thy footstool." He was widely rejected at his first advent, but there will be a second advent when his enemies will be made his footstool. So there's not only the seated Christ in verse number 1 here. I want you to notice just one more thing tonight. I want you to notice the ruling kingly Christ. of verse number 2, the Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah, shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now this is a literal prophecy. It has not yet taken place yet. I just want to say a word. And then tonight I want to emphasize one word back in verse number 1. But I do want to say that Jesus Christ is going to rule the world from Zion, which is a synonym for Jerusalem. He will sit upon the throne of his father David, as the Bible plainly says, and Jesus Christ will rule the world. He will take over. He will wield his royal scepter. He will exercise world dominion. Amen. It's going to be a different world. We won't even vote on liquor anymore when Jesus rules the world. Hallelujah. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. That's why our hope is not in Raleigh or Washington. Those are but men. But thank God, we're going to finally be in the majority when Jesus is the president of the world. Amen. That's what the Bible says so many times. You know, we're living between verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 is present tense. Jesus is seated. Number 2 is when he comes back to rule the world, literally, physically. So we're living there in the middle of that. The church age, some people call it. I like that. People call it the age of grace. That's not really so. It's always been grace. Amen. Think about it. From Adam, anybody that ever gets saved is saved by grace. Hello? So it's more correct to call it the church age. It's more correct to call it the age of the Holy Ghost, because he did not indwell like it does now, John 20. And Acts 15 says God's purpose right now is he's calling out from among all nations a people for his name. God's dealing with Gentiles and Jews alike, mainly with Gentiles. That's what God's doing right now. But I want to emphasize that word until. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until. That word just leaped off the page recently. And through the years, I've just been reading the Bible. You ever just hear something and say, you know, I need to search that out. There's bound to be something to that. Until. It means up to the time of. It's a word of limitation, but it's also a word of expectation. Until. No wonder Vance Havner said we're living in the great until. In fact, you could call this dispensation we're living in the dispensation of until. Let me give you 7 or 8 examples real quickly and we'll go. I just want you to hear the word until over and over again. I want you to know where we're living. I want you to know where we are in Bible prophecy. I want you to know that these people who say that we're living right now in the 1,000-year reign are wrong. And some of them go beyond that and say we're living in a new heaven and a new earth. Couldn't be. Couldn't be, because there'll be no more death in the new heaven and the new earth. You need to know where you're living. If you think you're living in the Old Testament, you'll be like the Seventh-day Adventist and you'll be worshiping on Saturday. Folks, you need to know where you're living. We're living in New Testament times when the Gentiles worshiped on Sunday. Acts chapter 20 and 1 Corinthians 16. You need to know where you're living. You need to know what's going to happen next. But listen to what Jesus said in one place concerning the wheat and the tares. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. So he said, what's happening now is you got sinners and saints together. And he uses the analogy there of the tares, because a tare looks like a wheat until the harvest. That means you don't know who's saved and who's not. We can't tell. I mean, we just don't. You know you're saved if you're saved, but you don't really know 100% sure about anybody else. Jesus said they're growing together, but there's going to be a division one day. He said there's coming what he called a harvest, a division, a great and eternal separation.
Right now, the saints and the sinners are sitting beside of each other. But mark her down. One day, they'll not be in the same place. One day, all the tares are going to be in the fire. You believe the Bible? Jesus said there's going to be a separation. We're living in that until time, that period of time when you can be saved before it's too late. The next great event's the rapture, mentioned so many times. Both advents of our Lord, the coming for us and coming with us, mentioned over 300 times in the New Testament. There's no way an honest person can read the Bible and miss the fact that Jesus is coming back. You just have to be willfully blind. Mentioned 300 times. Here's another verse about until. Ephesians 1 says, which is the earnest, and he's referring to the Holy Ghost, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now that purchased possession is you and me. And he's saying right now our soul is redeemed. But later on when Jesus comes, our body will be redeemed. Folks, you still have an old nature. You're still capable of doing wrong, aren't you? Our bodies have not yet been delivered. So we're living in the great until where we have a saved soul, but we still have this flesh. But Paul said there's going to be the redemption of the purchased possession. Thank God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be 100% saved? You won't be able to do wrong anymore. Well, hallelujah. Just the sound of that. Perfect forever. Hallelujah. But we're living in the until where we have to contend with the old nature. We have to feed the new nature. We have to say no to the devil and to the lust of the flesh. It's a temporary situation till the redemption of the purchased possession. We have the earnest, the down payment. God saving heaven for us and us for heaven. Until. These are all Bible verses. Until the day dawn, 2 Peter 1. Until the appearing of Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 6. Until the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1, 6. Until. The Lord wants us to be expecting some things to happen. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's not a quitter. If he started something in you, thank God, he's going to bring it to completion. And nobody's going to be left half saved. Hallelujah. Until. Well, I wish I could tell you everything's going to get better and better. You ever thought about the way that this world looks at the future? Take God out of it and the Bible out of it. They don't see a purpose. They don't see a consummation. They just think we've been going for hundreds of millions of years. We're going to keep going on for hundreds of millions of years and to survive with the fittest and whatever it takes for you to survive. The way this world looks at everything is a very selfish way. And if you don't look at things through the lenses of biblical prophecy, you're going to be a selfish person. But it's all about Jesus and what he's done, what he's going to do. Thank God, but things are going to get worse, 1 Timothy 4, but you just wait until the Holy Ghost is gone. 2 Thessalonians 2, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or restraineth will restrain until he be taken out of the way. You think it's bad tonight? Wait till the Holy Ghost is gone. And there's no restrainer and the flood tides are open. You just wait till every Christian in the whole world's gone. The very next day, it's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be the 7-year tribulation period. And the Antichrist will be inaugurated. And Jesus said it's to be a period of time such as has never been nor will ever be again. Hundreds of millions of people will die during that period of time. And this world is going to get what they always wanted or said they always wanted. They wanted a world without God and a world without Christians. But when it happens, they're going to change their mind. Oh yes, the Spirit of God will be taken away, the Bible says, until he be taken away. another until. I must hurry. Romans 11. Blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We realize God's working with the Gentiles primarily. There's a blindness and hardness upon the Jews. Have you ever tried to witness to a Jew? Do you know how few Jews are getting saved? See, God's going to deal with them again in Daniel's 70th week after the rapture. Do you know who the 144,000 are? I'm not even going to tell you. Go home and read your Bible. And it's not Jehovah Witnesses either. Do you know who's going to be preaching in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 years? Revelation 11. Do you know what the Bible says about the future? Do you know what God said? God, who knows the future as well as He knows the past? I'm afraid there's a lot of ignorance about these things, but it's all here in bold print in black and white. If we'll take the time to read it and study it and rightly divide it, you see, what we're waiting on is the fullness of the Gentiles, the last person to get saved, hallelujah. And it might be tonight, and then thank God we're leaving out of here. That's what the Bible says. Just until that last one gets in. And God will major on the Jews again, and their blindness will be removed, and untold thousands will be saved. Do you know how much the world hates Israel? Do you watch the news enough to know? Do you know how the United Nations votes? Do you know what our president's already done, reneged on some promises to the nation of Israel? Do you know how hard it is to stand up for the nation of Israel? Folks, there's nothing harder in the political world to stand up for the nation of Israel. All of hell is opposed to the nation of Israel. Because if the devil can wipe out the Jew, then he's destroyed the Bible. Do you know every college in this world has an annual week called Israeli Apartheid Week, where they try to cuss and kick and defame the nation of Israel? That's why the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what the only friends the Jews have denied are you and me. Born again Christians. The Catholics hate them. Everybody else hates them. The Muslims hate them. The Protestants hate them. And the Bible tells us all this would happen. The times of the Gentiles is running its course. And it will culminate in the tribulation, Armageddon, the conversion of Israel. These are all biblical truths. I like this verse. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And until then, we'll just watch and wait. Give and go, love and serve, pray and praise, because we've read the last chapter. Yet a little while, Hebrews 10:37. Oh, I love that. Yet a little while. In the Greek it says, oh, so little. Hallelujah. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. I'm going to elbow you on the golden streets and say, I told you it wouldn't be long. I told you keep a running. We're almost near the finish line. I told you, couldn't you hear them already start to sing? Amen. Thank God these things are true. We're on the threshold. We're on the threshold. We're living in the great until. What a time to be alive. Remember King Joash? What a type of Christ. Let me give you this and I'll be done. King Joash. He was the only one alive of David's line. His grandma killed all the rest of them. But Jehoiada the high priest took him and hid him for 6 years. And Jehoiada said, I'm going to have a secret showing. I'm going to get together some select people. And I'm going to show them that we have Joash. He's still alive and he's the rightful king and he should be crowned. And we're going to kill that wicked Athaliah. And there on a set day, there's going to be a public appearance, and the enemies of Joash are going to be put down, and the rightful king will sit up on his throne. And there was that secret showing of Joash. And then at a later time, there was that public showing, and Athaliah was killed, and Joash was set on his rightful throne, and his enemies put down, and great rejoicing in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Don't you know that our Lord Jesus, who was rejected, my friend, is the Son of David, and there's going to be, first of all, a secret showing. He's coming for us. We're going to see Him and be with Him, but not this world. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. But He'll be back. He'll be back. Coming for us 7 years later, coming back with us, every eye shall see Him, defeat the Antichrist at Armageddon, thank God, sit upon His throne, put down His enemies, rejoicing in Jerusalem. You say, that's just all coincidence. My, so ain't that beautiful. It's Jesus. It's just all about Jesus. Now, I wish I could get some of you excited. I talk about flowers or pies or something, but I wish you'd get excited about something worth getting excited about. Hallelujah. Well, we're living in the great until. And that line of David was preserved. Here's the last until tonight. Peter said this in a sermon. He said, whom Jesus Christ, the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. That just means everything that we lost because of Adam, we're going to get it back through Jesus. Plus a whole lot more. You ever wanted to be Adam and Eve in a perfect world, innocence? That'd be okay, but I like it better being a New Testament Christian. Because they could fall and they did, and they still had to get saved. But thank God we're going to have it better than Adam and Eve. We're going to be impossible to fall. We're going to be perfect as our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get all that Adam had plus more. The restitution. God said sin came in and death. God never intended for that to happen. But before, I emphasize, before that happened, God already had a plan. And the Father said, I'll give. And Jesus said, and I'll go. And He said, Father, I'll put it back better than it ever was. Restitution of all things. That word only appears right there and nowhere else in the whole Bible. It just means no more of funeral homes. No more pallbearers. No more suffering. No more pain. Thank God, no more disease. No more death. No more tears, no more curse, no more sin, no more Satan. Just means the enemies of Christ will be made His footstool. I'll tell you this, you better bow your neck to Jesus Christ or one day you're going to be under His feet. Do you hear me? You better bow to Him. You will. You will confess Him as Lord in this world, or you will confess Him as Lord in the world to come. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the inescapable Christ. Either you will be broken by Him, or you'll be ground to powder. Matthew 21:44. You can't escape Jesus. You reject Him and you'll wish you'd never been born. That's right. Well, those are a few examples. We're living in the great until. Let the church be looking for Jesus. Looking for that blessed hope. And praying, even so come. Lord Jesus, I'm afraid a lot of people are going to be caught just unawares. Hundreds of millions of people not saved, you're going to miss the rapture. And I'm afraid far too many Christians not living the life they all live, knowing they're going to face the record. That's the first thing on the agenda, by the way, is facing our record. Luke 14. I think A.J. Gordon's tombstone probably says it all. Should be the attitude of every Christian. Just says three words on his tombstone. It says, until He
comes. There's enough truth in that to live off of from now on. I just wonder if you're ready. If you had to face Him tonight, He will be your Savior or He'll be your judge. One or the other. Don't miss these great things. Wouldn't it be awful to miss heaven? To miss the rapture? To get the mark of the beast and go to hell? Revelation 14, and the smoke ascend up forever and forever and ever. There's people here tonight, if you die in your present condition, the smoke of your torment will be going up forever and ever and ever. It don't have to be that way. There was a cross so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He loves you. He'll save you. Let's stand tonight.